The truth will set you free. Being set free from our sins, being set free from everything that binds us, that chains us, that constricts us, is the desire, I think, of all of us to be set free. But I want us to spend, before we move into what does that mean for me, to spend some time with what did that mean in the time of Jesus? What was he talking about? Why was he forcing them to think and look at what was going on? They're in the temple. He's been teaching. They've been challenging. He's been teaching. They've been challenging. And he has been challenging their understanding of who they are as God's chosen people. Because they have moved through time to the place where they believe that the temple law, that the law of Moses, that all of their laws make them be God's chosen people. The temple and its priests were making money off of the people who were coming to make their sacrifices for the various festivals. They were getting quite rich. And if they paid off the Romans, they were quite comfortable in their lives. And Jesus was coming in and saying, wait a minute. I don't think that's what God intended for God's church. That you weren't supposed to be making money off the backs of my people. You weren't supposed to be conspiring with the enemy. You were supposed to be taking care of the widow, the orphan, the stranger in your midst. You were supposed to be a people about love and inclusion, because I loved you enough to come in the form of my son. And if you cannot see that truth, that through Jesus you will be set free, then your life is doomed. And Jesus is being very clear about this, that their lives are doomed if they can't turn and look at the truth that he is the Son of God. He is the one that God promised. He is the Messiah that will bring forth their freedom. And they went into that literal, but we haven't ever been slaves. Now, I don't know if you did what I did the first time I read that. Wait a minute. Weren't they in Egypt? Weren't they slaves there? But naturally, this generation wasn't, so we were never slaves, but you were. You were slaves to a power. You're now slaves to another power, but you're also slaves to your own sin. And their sin at this point was about power, control, and greed. And Jesus was saying, the truth that will set you free is that the only way that you can be unchained from the things that bind you is to believe in me. Because I am your Lord and your Savior. And when I die on the cross, okay, didn't say that, but when I die on the cross, you will be set free. Because I'm dying for your sins. And if you can't see me for who I am, you are blind to the truth and you are chained to your sin. So what does that mean for you and me? It means a few things. It means that we, as persons, have things that chain us and bind us, don't we? We have sins that we commit, that we hold on to it through guilt, through fear, through shame. And so the sin kind of floats around us like a membrane, because we don't let go of it, because we think somehow we have to own it. But if we truly believe the truth that Jesus died on the cross, then we're going to do things that are wrong. We're going to occasionally sin. But it doesn't have to be that membrane around us, because the armor around us is the armor of God. And as we ask for forgiveness for that which we, for our transgressions, the sins are washed away. So that's what that means for us individually. But what does it mean for us as the church? I think as the church, we need to pay attention to what's happening here. As Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus is talking about having our focus on God and God's love for humanity and God's love for each of us. That as the church, our focus, if it switches to anything but God and Jesus' demand that we go and make disciples for the transformation of the world, that the world might be saved. If our focus shifts from that to taking care of the church as our primary focus, then we are like the people he's speaking to in the temple. That we have bound ourselves to structures. We've bound ourselves to, they were bound to tradition. Do we bind ourselves to tradition? Do we choose not to move and be reformed by the Spirit of God in our midst? Or do we allow God full control? Ooh, that's kind of scary. To give God full control of God's church so that it becomes transformed by God's power through us, by the love we have for one another in our community. And it might not look like it looks like today, but amazing what it might look like if all our pews were full. If our pews were full of people of different colors, different languages, some might know that it was Yesu and not Jesu or Jesu. And people of different economic status, people of different nations. Who knows what God's church could look like? And that the choir loft would be full. And oh, I dare say we might have some other instruments. I don't know what they might be, but we might have some other instruments in the chancel area. And we might have a fellowship hall that is filled on a regular basis with the ministries of the community, whether we're teaching children as after-school tutors, whether we're taking care of the older generation that needs a place for community, and we find, oh my goodness, the older people are teaching the kids. Our tutors are our grandparents. And that food is being served, and they're having dinner together, that it might mean that maybe we have more than 2 walks a year. We have 4 or 5 walks as we collect funds for needs in our community, that we are reaching out and feeding the sick and comforting the grieving and sharing God's love with one another, so that this place here becomes the beacon of light that just draws people in because they know here they have a home, because they know here they matter. Because they know here they won't be bullied. Because they know here they will simply be loved. And we will look at them and we'll say, wow, you are a gifted farmer. Would you help us in our community garden? My goodness, you're much better at math than I am. Will you help this child who's having math problems? My goodness, Sarah, you bake a really good cake. Will you come with me and we'll bring it to someone who needs a visit? And a good piece of cake and cup of coffee. God can do amazing things if we believe in God. If we let go of the things that bind us and hold loosely to the traditions that give us life. I'm not saying we throw out the baby with the bathwater, because then we lose the baby in the back. I'm saying that if the tradition gives life, we enlighten it. If the tradition does not, we ask, where is God in the midst of it? Because God's church, this is 500 years of the Protestant Revolution. But God, and oh, Reformation, excuse me, we didn't revolt, we reformed. God has been reforming God's church since it was formed. And we, brothers and sisters in Christ, are on the cusp of a new reformation. And are we going to step into it, or are we going to be left behind? Jesus reminds us. So if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.